Boeing's new Dreamliner plant opens in South Carolina. A union suggests binding arbitration to avoid a strike. And the Terra Fugia transition will take a little longer. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, June 13, 2011. While the National Labor Relations Board continues to pursue a dubious court challenge to the opening of Boeing's new non-union Dreamliner assembly plant in South Carolina, the company has gone ahead and opened the doors. The ribbon-cutting ceremony Friday was attended by industry and political VIPs and more than 1,000 Boeing employees. Jack Jones, VP and General Manager of Boeing South Carolina, promised, quote, "Airline customers from around the world will come to the South Carolina Lowcountry to take delivery of their 787s, and we look forward to demonstrating what Made with Pride in South Carolina is all about," unquote. The new final assembly building features almost 643,000 square feet of covered space, roughly the equivalent of more than 10 football fields. More than 18,000 tons of steel and 1 million cubic feet of concrete were used in its construction. At full production, the South Carolina Final Assembly Facility will produce 3 787 Dreamliners per month. SPEA, the Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace, has made a proposal to Boeing in anticipation of talks on a new contract agreement for almost 22,000 engineers and technical workers. Submit to arbitration in lieu of conventional negotiations. The union would guarantee no strike. The company would guarantee no lockout. SPEA Executive Director Ray Goforth says the process isn't perfect, but can work well if both sides have a genuine interest in a fair resolution. Quote, "If both sides intend to be reasonable and rational, interest arbitration is a way to solve fiscal disputes without the collateral damage that comes from a strike or lockout," unquote. There's been no response so far from the company. It's not just big airliners like the Dreamliner that fall behind their development schedules. Terra Fugia, developer of the Transition Flying Car, has confirmed a long-rumored delay to its projected delivery schedule. The delay is said to stem from a combination of production design challenges and problems with third-party suppliers. The goal of demonstrating one of the second-generation prototypes at AirVenture 2011 was announced at Oshkosh last year, but that too will not happen on time. To newsletter subscribers, Terra Fugia CEO and CTO Carl Dietrich explained, quote, "Our team continues to be committed to pushing the schedule forward as quickly as possible, but safety and quality must remain our top priorities, particularly as we begin our rigorous testing program. I believe that the transition will be worth the wait, and we sincerely appreciate your support as we continue to overcome the challenges associated with bringing this revolutionary product to market," unquote. 14 mobility airmen teamed together to fly a C-5M Super Galaxy on a direct nonstop mission from Dover Air Force Base in Delaware to Bagram, Afghanistan, June 5th and 6th, and they called this a shortcut. The flight was reportedly the first time a U.S. Air Force plane has flown this northern route from the U.S. over Canada and into the Arctic Circle, then back down through Russian and Kazakhstan airspace to Afghanistan. General Raymond E. Johns, Jr., Command of the Air Mobility Command, explained, quote, "Our mission is to provide the right effects to the right place at the right time through global reach. This historic proof-of-concept flight is the embodiment of that mission. It provides a valuable new option that allows us to be effective to those we serve," unquote. Up next on ANN, Quest Aircraft gets more investment and new executives. The Aerospace Industries Association reports growth. And NTSB turns to AOPA to foster an education program. You're listening to Arrow News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero briefing for Monday, June 13th. I'm Paul Plack. We have an Aero News special feature available for download today. I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about teachable moments, what they are, when they happen, and how to make the most of them. The special feature is no longer on a regular schedule except for Mondays. We'll have new episodes on other weekdays around special events or big stories. Quest Aircraft says it's now moving forward on several fronts, including increased production rates for the Kodiak. Earlier this year, a recapitalization, along with new funding from investors, enabled the company to expand and invest in a few key areas, including production increases at its Sandpoint facility. The company's executive leadership is also transitioning. Paul Schaller, who's been Quest's CEO, is leaving that position and will now serve as a consultant to the company. Ron Wright, Director of Operations, will continue to oversee the production facility in Sandpoint. Steve Zinda has been named Director of Sales and Marketing, and Paul Duff is the new Director of Procurement. Zinda and Duff are based in Wichita, Kansas, where the company plans to locate several key management positions. Quest began customer deliveries of the Kodiak in late 2007. The versatile turboprop can land and take off from unimproved surfaces and is capable of working off floats without structural upgrades. The Kodiak can also take off in under 1,000 feet at full gross takeoff weight of 7,255 pounds and climb at over 1,300 feet per minute. The Aerospace Industries Association tells ANN that it has extended its record growth with the enrollment of 8 new full members and 9 associate members at its May Board of Governors meeting. Full membership has increased almost 50% since January 2010 to 147 companies. Find the list of the new members in the text version of this story, dated June 12th, at aero-news.net. This doesn't happen too often. The National Transportation Safety Board has issued 5 specific recommendations to address the cause of an Alaska aviation accident. But only 4 of those recommendations are made to the FAA. The 5th seeks help from the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. The board wants to increase passenger comprehension regarding the location and availability of various survival and emergency communications equipment, and is asking AOPA to, quote, educate pilots of 14 Code of Federal Regulations Part 91 flight operations about the benefits of notifying passengers about the location and operation of survival and emergency communication equipment on board their airplanes, unquote. And finally today, thanks to all the folks who stopped by Brigham City Airport in northern Utah over the weekend to join us at Rotors Over the Rockies. It's a small event by normal GA standards, so to have small gyroplanes and helicopters there from several states was great fun and a rare opportunity. Several folks got training, including one who went from 0 to 12 hours in solo last week. One gyro trailer down from Idaho got its airworthiness inspection done. Dozens of folks got intro flights in gyros and helicopters. And we ate way too much lasagna Saturday evening. We'll see everybody next year, June 7th through the 9th. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.